Pastor Dean Sunseri.
If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Revelation chapter 4. If you remember last week, we began to speak about Revelations. How many of y'all have been scared to go into the book of Revelations? Do you know, the book of Revelations was not originally a book written about the end times. That's a dimension of it. But the major dimension of it is that it was the revelation of revelations. It was the cornerstone of what's happening in heaven right now, and describing the reality of where Jesus is right now and what he's doing. Do you know we have his earthly ministry, right? And when he walked the earth, he walked an earthly ministry. We have four gospels that record what went on there. But there's also a place that he went and a transition that he made after he died, was buried, was resurrected, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And the revelation of revelations is actually insight into that position. It's also a prophetic book. It's a book about prophecy. Prophecy is really revelation from the Father's heart, isn't it?
Amen.
So all prophecy is when I'm with Sharon and I ask God, what are you saying about Sharon right now? And I start getting perceptions in my heart and my spirit of what he's saying, and I start releasing that over her. Prophecy is not it has a dimension of maybe tapping into the future and the past and different, but it's really at its root, it's God's love language. It really is. It's his love language of revealing to her things that God sees in her that she may not see in herself. I might not even see, but he begins to what? Reveal it to me. And so when we read the book of Revelations, it's important to understand that more than anything, it's given us insight about how we function in connection with Jesus at this time, at this moment, in relationship to him. And we get insight about it by watching what happened with John. Last week we talked about how the revelation of John walked with Jesus. He was one of his first disciples, right? He was one of the first four disciples that Jesus chose. And he walked with Jesus for 3 years and saw the miracles and ate dinner with him all the time and spent so much time with him. And then he saw Jesus transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration. So he saw a glorified part of him or a dimension of him. And then he saw Jesus after he was resurrected, right? He saw the resurrected Jesus when he appeared. And he saw him by the Sea of Galilee, right? When he appeared to Peter and them, and they were fishing in the boat. And then he was also in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came in fire, right? And so he had all these experiences of Jesus. And then in Revelations, towards the end of his life, he had this experience of Jesus where he saw Jesus, and he saw him as he is in his full glory. And they described he had the golden sash and the white robe, and he had eyes of fire. And his hair was like white as wool. And his face was shining like the sun, and his feet were burnished brass. And here was the most beloved disciple of Jesus that laid his head on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper, knew him so well. And when he saw this aspect of Jesus, Revelation says he fell down as if he was dead. It was so awesome to him that he couldn't even handle it, and he fell down as he was dead. It's an amazing thing, right? Because we haven't really experienced all those other dimensions, but here was this one that was so close to him, and that there's a dimension of Jesus in his present state that as we get closer to him, he's in his glorified state now. He's in his glorified state, and that the more we draw closer to him, the more powerful it gets. Like, there's nothing boring about growing in the Christian life.
Amen.
You grow closer to him, it just gets more like, woo, woo. So in Revelation chapter 4, we looked at, I'm just reviewing right now. It says, after these things,
verse 1.
Verse 1. Thank you. So he had this vision of Jesus in chapter 1 and 2, and then chapter 1, and then chapter 4, he has this other vision, and this is where we're taken up. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven. It says he had this vision of Jesus, which it seems to be, would be the ultimate vision, right? Seeing him in his glorified place. But in chapter 4, he has an experience that's even higher than that. In chapter 4, it says, "Come up here. Come up higher." He's invited to come up higher. He goes through the open door in heaven. He comes up higher, and then it says, immediately he was what? In his Spirit. What it's teaching us is, how do you go up higher? By getting connected to what? Your Spirit. We all have a spirit. We have a soul, our mind, and emotions, right? We all have a body. But what John is explaining to us is that if we're going to come up higher in the Spirit, if we're going to come up higher into heaven, we need to get more connected to what? Our spirit. He was invited, come up higher. Immediately he was in the Spirit, and then he started to have a vision. Now, you need to notice also how many times the word behold, it says behold, behold. It's repeated over and over again. Behold is an ocular term. It's a ocular, what I mean, a seeing term. It's an invitation to see. Barry, behold, means Barry, come and see. Come and see. There's a dimension that when we're in the Spirit, one of the dimensions of being in the Spirit and being communicated to is seeing. How many of y'all know that English is not God's first language?
Amen.
He may speak to us in words, but most often, he speaks to us in images. Not always. We can hear him. We can have audible. We can hear the still, small voice. But one of the dimensions that is consistently over and over again is revealing through images. So he says, behold, come and see. And then, if you notice in Revelations, John starts describing what he sees. Write down what you see. I see the throne, I see this, I see this, I see this, I see this, I see this. And he starts describing what he sees. And how many of y'all know that he's seeing these things, but he doesn't quite understand everything he's seeing?
Amen.
And some of the things he doesn't even know how to explain. I see creatures with eyes, and one looks like an eagle, and one looks like an ox, and one looks like the face of a man. He's trying to describe what he's seeing, but how many of y'all know that the heavenly dimension is different than the earthly dimension? And even Jesus said, he said, I'm trying to explain heavenly realities to you by using earthly examples. And if you're not getting those, how are you going to get it when I'm just talking about heavenly realities? So he would use earthly realities to describe heavenly things, but there's a point where he was seeing things, and he probably didn't even share those things with us because we were not able to understand. But John was getting insight to these heavenly things. Go to verse 8 of chapter 4, which is going to be our opening scripture. It says, and this is part of his vision, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings. Say six wings.
Six wings.
Now, what does that look like? Or full of eyes. Say full of eyes.
Full of eyes.
Around.
Around.
And within.
And within.
Around.
Around.
And within.
And within.
And day and night, they did not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come." All right. Let me read that again. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, what do wings do? Help you go what?
Fly.
Or full of eyes around and within, day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come." All right, y'all ready? The wings represent what? Going higher. He told us before, come up higher, and how did he go up? By being in his what?
Spirit.
So the spirit is what takes us up higher. Now, what I would propose to you, I was arrested when I got to this verse, and the Holy Spirit would not let me go past it. It was like, this is a bizarre verse.
Yeah.
Eyes, creatures, wings, six wings, you know. It's, and then what I heard in my spirit, that this is a prophetic picture of prophetic ministry.
Amen.
The creatures, which have always been so bizarre to me, or a picture of prophetic ministry. So by our spirit, we go up what? Higher. As we get closer to the throne, he actually gives us an extra set of eyes. So the creatures are at the throne, seeing the throne, right? And they have eyes what? In front and what?
Behind.
So, what it means is that the creatures can see God and see out at the same time. And they have eyes where? Within. The creatures are a picture of prophetic ministry.
Amen.
So, if I'm ministering to Julie, one set of eyes is seeing her in the natural, but one set of eyes is seeing the throne. And what he's saying about her. And when he says to me what he's saying about her, one set of eyes is interpreting it with him. You see it?
Yeah.
Sees everything.
He sees everything. But the creature, you see, when you function in prophetic ministry, you're actually given the gift of another set of eyes that are beyond just the natural. Those are the eyes that are seeing out. We'd all do much better if every time we got in a crisis, we had both eyes on.
Yes.
I'm seeing the crisis. Right now, my son's battling. He's been battling mono. And I prayed for him. Julie prayed for him again. The other night he was in so much pain, I just laid next to him and I was praying till the pain went away. I was just praying till the pain went away. And the pain went away and it would go good for a while and it would come back. And he's just battling. And I thank you all who have been praying for him, and I need you to continue to stand with me to continue to pray for him. And at the same time, do you know if I just look at his illness with one set of eyes, it can get scary. But if I have one set of eyes on him and one set of eyes on the Lord, and it's like, Lord, what's going on here? And what am I supposed to do? And I'm hearing within, and I'm seeing it with all sets of eyes, then I don't lose hope. I'm dealing with the same situation. So prophetic ministry is not just about ministering to others. It's learning to minister to ourselves. It's learning to face a situation where I never see a situation as it is in itself. I always see it in reference to the other set of eyes that's looking at the throne.
Amen. Wow. That's good.
And that when I'm looking there and there simultaneously and getting what's saying there and I'm interpreting within, then I have my solution on what to go after. And there is a the model that the creature, we just need the six wings now, right? Now we have the eyes.
Yeah, that is
so how are we going to do that? But I really believe that the Lord is telling us that that's what we need to aspire to. Is that we need to aspire to always see every situation in reference to the throne simultaneously. Not to be absorbed into one and ignore the other. Not to be absorbed in this one and ignore that. One of the aspects of the healing rooms, when we went to Bethel, a number of us that went to Bethel, one of the most fascinating things about the healing rooms is that they may be praying for a situation that's actually a terminal illness. But they've been trained never to get their eyes off the throne. And so they're laughing and joking and, yeah, we're praying for this stage 4 cancer. The Lord is so good. You know, they're going, but, you know, it's like, this is weird, you know. Don't they know this person is suffering? But because they haven't, they're not denying that this is real. But they're looking at this and looking at that at the same time, and they're bringing them there instead of forgetting that and them jumping in there.
Wow. Yes. That's a great explanation.
You see, what happens is that sometimes we can minister to someone who's dealing with a very serious issue. And that's the difference between what? Is it sympathy and compassion?
Yes. Yeah.
The difference between sympathy and compassion is, if this person's dealing with a very, very serious issue, sympathy is they're drowning and I jump in the water and start drowning with them.
Yeah.
And we drown together and it says, oh, I'm so
sorry. Right. So sorry, this happened to us.
Compassion is being aware that they're drowning, but I'm pulling them out and bringing them to the Lord. I'm bringing them to the throne. And that there's nothing that's greater than Him. So what do I need to do to bring that situation to there so that He can deal with it? Because it's really bigger than me. I'm just an instrument here. And that's a key that the healing rooms had that was really, it's almost bizarre if it's the first time you experience, right? You go into it, it's like, this is like a carnival and people are dying around here. You know, it's a carnival atmosphere. And the atmosphere is because there's such a high value to the presence. And that there's nothing greater than the presence. And that if we stay focused on the presence while we're dealing with this, then we can match them. Amen?
Amen.
The other aspect of this verse is the creatures were saying what? Holy, 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 which is a form of what?
Worship.
One of the other keys is maintaining a heart of worship while I have an eye on the throne and an eye on what I'm ministering to and listening to what's within. Now, Bob and I were talking today about, it's interesting because we're celebrating seers tonight. We have a number of seers in here. And there's two aspects of seeing is that I may get images in my spirit, and then I need to interpret it through my soul, right? I need to interpret it through my mind. And that it's so important to have my mind renewed or my soul healed because the image can come in, but it can be tainted by my unhealed soul or my unrenewed mind. And so when it's released, it becomes a bit tainted, but the spiritual image is pure. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That the interpretation of it is important, and that's why we need to have accountability with each other, and that's why we need to be challenged to grow and continue to stay in the process. That we need to be able to see the images. Sometimes I think the images that we get are pure, but the release of it is often very ministering. But sometimes it's not as ministering as it could be because it's being released through an area that has been not totally resolved for us. Amen? Okay. So, it's an attitude of relational worship that the prophetic ministry is. There's a seeing grace. There's a seeing grace that I believe the Lord's releasing tonight. He's going to release that tonight. Is that all of us, if I'm a seer and I see in the spirit 1 to 10, 10's off the charts, 1's like I don't see it all, and I'm at a 3, I believe the Lord's going to bring you to a 4 or 5 tonight.
Amen. Yeah.
If you're a 5, I believe he's going to bring you to a 6 or 7. If you're 7, he's going to bring you to a 8 or a 9. That I really believe all week it's been on my heart that he wants to upgrade our seeing. And for those of us who haven't seen much at all, I really believe that tonight's the night that he's going to release the other set of eyes. He's going to turn us into the creatures. All right, go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. How many of y'all want to be one of the creatures? Just give me the eyes. Just give me the eyes. All right. Chapter 1, verse 7. Go to verse 7 of Revelation chapter 1. It says, behold, there's the word behold. Remember, behold is an ocular. See this. He's saying, see this. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. Behold, he is coming. He is coming. When I read that originally, I always thought that what the author was saying is that the glorified Jesus is coming sometime in the future, right? How many of y'all read it and saw it as that? Like he's coming in the future. What I would propose to you is if that's what he was saying, he would say, he will be coming. The tense of the verb is not will be coming in some future date. But look what it says.
He is coming.
He is coming with the clouds. He is coming with those who are higher up with the clouds. He is coming, which has the connotation that right now. It's not he will be coming. Look, we're in a new dispensation.
Amen.
Yes. And this is the dispensation of the Holy Spirit where Jesus is coming every moment.
Yeah.
In every situation.
This is good. Yes.
Even to those who are piercing him or who are piercing him now.
Amen.
And he's coming not to just the Christians or just the Jews. He's coming to every tribe. So we can go anywhere in the world, and right now, actively, he is coming.
Amen.
So he's coming, but he's not fully, hasn't fully come. That's why it's coming.
Amen. I like that.
He's coming right now.
On the scene.
And so when I'm ministering to someone, I can take for granted he's actively pursuing the person I'm ministering to. He's coming. And if I'm in my spirit and I'm a little raised up, I see him coming. And I'm telling you how he's coming.
Okay, good.
So,
sorry, I'm a little slow.
No.
I get it. I'm with you.
So there was a moment when Rhonda was ministering prophetically about the ministry, and she was sharing these things, and he is coming at that moment. I was tearing up when she started saying things. And, you know, when it's your turn, it's about voice of the kingdom. I'm welcoming words for Holly, Kim, and I, but it's about all of us, right? So you don't have to concentrate on us too. We'll receive that. We'll receive that. That's fine. But I don't want to make it just about us. I want to make it about us, right? But what I want you to see is that in prophetic ministry, or even in healing prayer, when y'all were praying for each other, I was looking around and there were people in tears. Why? Because he is coming right now.
Praise God.
Yes.
And you were being the instrument of it. And he is coming. He was pursuing.
Yes.
In the moment. So what I want you to see is that our role is to see how he is coming right now, not when the end of the world and the dragon falls and the dispensation and the left behind and everything else happens. Right? No, right now. He's coming. He is coming. He is coming. And he's pursuing each one of us. He's pursuing us. He's coming in the clouds. Amen? All right, go to verse 10 of chapter 1. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was in the what?
Spirit.
And I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write in the book what you see. Say see.
See.
And send it to the seven churches. Write in the book. So he was in the Spirit, and his instructions were to tell what he what?
Sees.
What he sees. What he sees.
Verse 11 says in the writing book.
Write it in a book, right. So in some sense, it's see and tell.
Yeah.
Right? See and tell. Go to Revelations chapter 3. I might not get past this. I have so much more. But Revelations chapter 3, verse 18. He's talking to the different churches, and this is the last church he's addressing, and I'm just jumping right in the middle of it. But I want you to see what he says here. Verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see.
What chapter?
3:18. He's addressing the church, and he's saying, I want you to have your eyes anointed so that you may what? See. You know what we're doing tonight? We're anointing the eyes by the seers. Yes. Do you know if Tom has a grace on his life and I humbly come before him in an attitude of receiving spiritually, that which is on his life can be released to me and I can function in the things that he's functioning in just through honor?
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Do you know that there's a number of people here that are really strong seers?
Yes, that's good.
There's a number of people in here that see that have been seeing things ever since I started preaching.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Isn't it true, Michelle? Right? And so there's a number of people who see in here that the seers tonight are going to make a tunnel. A grace tunnel. And everybody that wants to will be able to go through the grace tunnel. And at the end of the grace tunnel, Bob and I are going to anoint your eyes. And your seeing is going to increase tonight. Your seeing is going to increase because we're going to receive from the seers. We're going to receive from the seers. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Go to. I got us. Last one. 2 Kings. 2 Kings, chapter 7, chapter 6. 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 6. I'm so proud of you, Rhonda. You did a great job tonight. Bob started us off strong. And what I want you to do is the different people will be asked to do that. I don't want you to compare yourself to anybody else.
Amen.
The message that you give needs to be your message that the Lord gives you. There's no judgment on that. Amen? All right, so chapter 6 of 2 Kings, I want you to go to verse 15. Verse 15. This is the story of Elisha, the prophet, who's being chased down by the king, who was mad at him because he kept telling the king secrets. Yeah. Right? We're not going to go into that. But verse 15, it says, "Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' Verse 16, so he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" They had a huge army surrounding the town, and the servant said, "We're in trouble." But Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, there's the word, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. They had an army that came against Elisha and the servant. Elisha and the servant didn't have an army in the natural. He said, "Let my servant see." And when he saw all the angelic hosts that were surrounding them, that were going to guard them from this army.
Amen.
Elisha released the creature eyes. They got to see in the natural and see what was going on the throne at the same time. They were able to see in the natural realm and in the supernatural realm at the same time. That's his desire for all of us. It's his desire for all of us. There's many of examples of that throughout the New Testament. When John the Baptist baptized Jesus in the natural, he dunked him in water. But in the supernatural, he saw the clouds open up and he saw the Spirit fall like a dove. When Paul was knocked off his horse, Paul saw Jesus. The others didn't. The others heard things. But he had a vision. Right? Remember when Peter was locked in the prison and the angel came? He was sleeping between two guards. People say that the guards, they put supernatural sleep on the guards. Maybe they didn't. Maybe Peter was the only one that was able to see the angel. They said the angel with light came in the room and Peter saw the angel and led him out, and Peter was like, "What world am I in? Is this a dream or is this the natural? I'm seeing both at the same time. I don't understand what's happening." And all of a sudden, before he knew it, he was outside the prison. But he experienced the whole thing by seeing both the throne. When I say the throne, he's seeing what God's doing at the same time he's seeing what's happening in the natural. Do you see it?
Yes.
Remember when Stephen was being stoned? It said he looked up to heaven and Jesus got off his seat and was standing up. But Stephen was the only one that saw it. The others didn't see it because he was seeing what was happening in heaven at the same time he was seeing what was happening in the natural. And he was able to deal with the trauma of the natural because he was seeing what was happening through heaven's eyes. We all have access. And the message tonight is that he wants you to see even higher.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's do an offering and then...